14 minutes after 5 o'clock, entering the final hour of Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Heavens have fallen on a Thursday, and we'll be right back at it again tomorrow, 3 to 6, to wrap up the work week tomorrow. Happy to have you along for the ride. Andy Bulbarch and Matt Douglas with you. That's a fun song to air guitar. Jimi Hendrix, Voodoo Child. And our next guest, a man of many, many talents, and I've heard he's even won awards for his ability to work the air guitar, especially to that Jimi Hendrix tune, the one, the only, Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus. Dunny, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, and that award is somewhere collecting dust somewhere in my closet.
I love playing that. That was the theme of Hollywood Hulk Hogan when he turned from good to bad.
It was perfect.
Oh, and then that song made being bad so good. You know,
absolutely.
It just works so well. Well, Michigan State was so bad, it ended up being good for Ohio State anyways on Sunday. Are you still in shock at that upset on Sunday afternoon?
Yeah, but by the way, that's a very good transition because I was wondering where the heck you were going with that one. I'm in shock still. That to me was the biggest surprise of the weekend. It was a weekend of upsets. You had Duke lose, North Carolina lose. You had Michigan State obviously lose. Arizona lost. You had a lot of national teams that lost, national ranked teams that lost. And for the Buckeyes to defeat the number one team was impressive. To be up by 23 at one point and to win by 16, that's just a whole new level. If they were going to win, I was going to say it would be a 1-2 point, overtime game or something close. I was not expecting a 16-point blowout.
I don't think anybody was expecting a 16-point blowout, especially how good Michigan State had been playing heading into that game. And I guess I have to ask this question to you again. Is the city surprised at all that this has turned around so quickly? You know, we're talking about a program that's got a pretty decent history in college basketball. I mean, obviously not one of the schools that will be considered on the upper echelon, but certainly a school that is always very competitive, seemed to be at least kind of sort of in the conversation. Last year didn't even make the big dance. So it's a total transition going from last year to this year, the brand new head coach of the whole nine yards. Is the city still surprised at how quickly this has turned around?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and it also helps that the Big Ten isn't as strong as it has been in years past. But, yeah, absolutely. The city, I think, is very surprised that, you know, how well this team is playing. And how this team is playing doesn't represent, you know, the Big Ten. It represents how just the turnaround that Ohio State basketball has made in less than a season. It's been very impressive from everything from Kidde Bates-Diop to finally being healthy and coming back, to the play of Caleb Weston and how the freshman's been playing down low. And to the bench, you know, five players played off the bench for Ohio State. Only one had 3 points in Dockage's half-point shot at the end of the first half. But they've been playing extremely well. Don't let those 3 points for the entire bench fool you. They played a very good game, and they've been playing well over this year as well.
Was depth something that they expected going into the season? I think anytime you have any kind of transition, that's the one thing you expect to lack, because you're going to have some guys that move on. They don't want the change of scenery. It's going to take the new guys a second to catch on. So it seems like depth would be the last thing that you would expect when you're looking at a transition like this.
Oh, and the depth still isn't good. But when you lose, you got to remember, even when Thad Mata was still the coach after the season ended, they lost players like a Mickey Mitchell, like a Baxton Beverly, and a and then when Holtman came in, Derek Funderburk was no longer on the team. So you're losing guys. You only had 8 scholarship players at one point during the summer. And then Musajalo commits, and he reclassifies to play this year. That helped out a lot. Tyler Young transfers in, so that helped out a lot. So Coach Holtman has been able to work with this team and mold this team into what he wants, but he gave a lot of credit to Thad Mata in saying, you know, I didn't recruit a lot of these guys. Kidde Bates-Diop, Jayshon Tate, C.J. Jackson, those are all Thad Mata guys. And he, in his post-game press conference on Sunday, was very appreciative of Thad Mata and what he left behind him here in Ohio State.
Donnie, what are the realistic expectations for the rest of this year, and I guess more importantly, into next year? And I ask that because I think anything they get this year the rest of the way, they'll be pleasantly surprised with. But moving into next year, you know, college basketball isn't as gigantic an undertaking when it comes to transformations. You're expected to be successful in your second year. The rules dictate that you'll have guys for at least a year, maybe two. So what are the realistic expectations heading to the end of this year and going into next?
I think the expectations for this year are just, you know, keep doing what they're doing. They're expected to be – so I think they're expected to win this game against Maryland tonight at 7 o'clock inside the shot. The biggest game they have left is probably at Purdue on February 7th. That will be a huge game as far as implications of the Big Ten. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Buckeyes finish somewhere in the top four and possibly get a bye in the Big Ten tournament. I think that would be okay and good for expectations for this season. And next year, just, you know, with the recruiting class that Coach Holtman has coming in, you're only going to be losing Jay Sean Tate, and more than likely, I would assume Kitty Bates Diop. You're going to be losing two big scorers, but you're going to have a team that has played a lot, and experience means a lot in the Big Ten basketball season.
Sean, I don't know, you've been to practices and things of that nature, but of course the latest rankings came out. Buckeyes aren't in the top 25. They've been playing fairly well of recently, just knocked off the number one team in the country. Is there a bit of a chip on the Buckeyes' shoulder right now, or are they just taking business as usual?
When you ask the players and Coach Holtman, yeah, it's business as usual. When you ask people around the team, I think people are very surprised they weren't ranked. I'm not exactly surprised they weren't ranked just because they weren't receiving votes to begin with before that game.
Sure.
So, you know, for them to go unranked and not receiving votes to in the top 25, I think that was asking a little bit too much. I think where they're at, maybe I thought they would have gotten a few more votes. But I expected the change if they, you know, with two victories this week, which I expect the Buckeyes to get, I expected a change going into Monday in the new AP Top 25 coming out.
As far as expectations at this point, have they exceeded those? I think the way we've been talking.
Wholeheartedly, they've exceeded expectations. I mean, they're 4-0 in the Big Ten, only four losses overall, and they're four quality losses. When you look at, you know, they lost to three teams that are nationally ranked in Gonzaga, in Clemson, who I didn't see coming, and to North Carolina, and to Butler in an emotional game, not just for the team, but for Coach Holtman, in overtime out west on a neutral court. Yeah, and Butler, they're on a little bit of a slump right now, but they were almost ranked to begin with as well. So four quality losses, and now you have two huge quality wins against Michigan and Michigan State.
We're talking with Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus about the Ohio State Buckeyes, of course, coming off of that huge upset victory over Michigan State on Sunday. They're in action again tonight against Maryland. The Buckeyes taking on Rutgers on Saturday evening. We'll have that game for you here on AM 930 WEOL. Our coverage begins at 6:30. Just out of curiosity, Dunny, at what point do things totally turn over and when does the attention solely get focused on men's basketball? Because obviously it's a football school, and for, I would say, a good chunk of the year, if not 6 months, maybe even a tad more than that, everybody's focused on what Urban Meyer and company are doing. But at what point does the focus shift from football to basketball?
My honest answer, never.
Okay. All right.
I think with Ohio State, you're always going to be looking at football and seeing what they're doing, you know. February 7th is, you know, Ohio State basketball plays at Purdue in a big Big Ten game. That's also a national signing day for a Buckeye football team. Then you look at spring practice that will begin in March, spring game April 15th, I believe. And then you're already through the basketball season. So I think Ohio State basketball takes a higher emphasis now when you look into, you know, right now all you're looking at is guys either declaring for the NFL draft or staying, which Paris Campbell announced today on his Twitter page. He is staying for another year at Ohio State. But, you know, you look at now through March, I guess you could say this is the most attention that Ohio State basketball receives in the city. But you also have to look at, you know, you have the Columbus Blue Jackets as well competing for a playoff spot in the NHL, and they're just nearing their All-Star break too.
Matt Douglas is cheering because he's a gigantic Blue Jackets fan.
All right. We got to talk Blue Jackets.
Yeah, it's they got the Sabres tonight. Hopefully they can keep things going and not screw that one up.
Well, it definitely helps that Alexander Wendberg is back, and hopefully they'll be having some of their other guys like Brendan Dubinsky and Cam Atkinson back here shortly off their IR stint.
Saw Doobie was practicing the other day with the visor on. Looks a little weird with that going on.
It looks incredibly weird with him having a visor on. He's one of the toughest players in the NHL, and for him to have that visor on, I know that's uncomfortable for him, and he doesn't like it whatsoever.
About how many Blue Jackets assignments do you draw a week?
When they're home and I'm working, I'm usually there every night. Getting post game interviews. We'll be watching games in the sports department, and so it's my time to drive the short little drive over to the Nationwide Arena and head over there and talk to the players and Coach Tortorella after the game, which is always an interesting post game interview, win or lose.
Did you get to sit in on the one after that Oilers debacle?
I don't believe so. I can't remember the exact date and when that was, but when he spoke for about 7 seconds, so I was not there.
I like that, though. At least he said he respected they had a job to do and then walked out.
No, but, if you look at some YouTube videos of Coach Tortorella when he was with the Canucks or with the Rangers, he can go off. And it's always quite interesting when that happens.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Well, it's always quite interesting when we have you on, my friend. Always a pleasure to have you with us. I didn't know that you covered the Blue Jackets as often as you did, so we'll certainly talk some puck stuff as we continue to talk to you throughout the course of the rest of the winter. Always a pleasure, Dunny.
You got to remember, they're the professional team in town along with the crew.
I often forget that, but again, I work with a guy who doesn't let me forget that because he's such a big Blue Jackets guy.
There we go.
He can't get enough of them, but
he's a member of the fifth line.
I am indeed, yes. I was there for the very first playoff played inside Nationwide Arena, and then I
guess Red Wings.
And then unfortunately I was in North Dakota for the second series.
That's all right.
But I watched it. I watched it from the true north, rooting them on, hoping they could get past the Penguins. Unfortunately, it didn't work.
No, I was there for the first series against Pittsburgh a couple years ago, and that place was just bonkers when they won that game in overtime.
I believe it.
Yeah, they'll get past those pesky Penguins one of these days.
Hopefully soon.
Donnie, thank you as always, my friend. We'll do it again next week.
Sounds good, guys. Talk to you guys next week.
All righty. Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus.